We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Hey there, we at Blue Wire wanted to thank you for your continued support of this podcast. With over 90 podcasts across our network, we are committed to bringing you great content to fill that sports-shaped hole in your heart. To find more Blue Wire pods, search for us on iTunes or check out BlueWirePods.com. And remember, one day sports will return and it will be glorious. Thanks for listening. On to the show.
In the Know, the Bourbon Street Shots Podcast. We're your hosts, Shamit Dua and Mason Ginsburg, and this is All Pelicans All the Time.
Welcome to the long-awaited episode of In the Know, brought to you by Bet Online and a new sponsor, Blue Chew. We'll tell you all about Blue Chew later on. My friend Mason Ginsburg, what is up? I haven't talked to you in feels like months. Mm-hmm. How's your life been going, man?
Yeah, it's it's weird because I feel like we would have had more time to record, and yet there's just like, I feel like we chat like once a week about like, oh, we used to record a podcast. It's like, what do we talk about? So long awaited, and we'll try to pick this up a little bit and do this more often. Cause we got a lot of good questions this time around, but, yeah, things are going okay. I mean, I could complain, but no one's listening because everyone's kind of in not ideal situation right now, to different degrees. And I'm just, I'm healthy. Weather in Chicago is finally starting to turn. And so like, at least there's time, I can spend some more time outdoors and not just feel cooped up inside with 40 degree temperatures, which it was up until like this past weekend. I'm making it. Oh, just finished Game of Thrones last night. So,
oh my God, all of it.
Yeah, it took exactly, I looked from like the first episode, we did it in exactly a month. Which
Were you happy about how it ended?
No, man. So like my, this is not a Game of Thrones podcast, so I really don't want to go into the weeds.
It could be whatever podcast you want.
I don't know. And just crushing through 8 seasons of it, I think it's the impact is different than like people who are watching. Even if you like streamed the first 3 or 4 seasons and then started like when it was airing like season 4 or 5 live, like I feel like that's a different, like totally different watching experience. And like, cause like I think about 24 was the first like kind of cult following TV show I started watching from the beginning, and like having to wait a week for that, like it was totally different than I think if you just binged, watch seasons of 24 back to back. And so like, I feel like, you know, I didn't like, this wasn't to me, like I prefer Breaking Bad much prefer Breaking Bad to Game of Thrones. And like, but it was good. Like I'm very definitely happy that I watched it. I didn't think, everyone told me just like after the last two episodes of season 6, it just drops off precipitously. And Ann and I were talking about this. Like, I didn't hate season 7. I thought it was okay. Season 8 was a dumpster fire, but like, I thought season 7 was okay. But man, yeah, the end of season 6, I think kind of makes it all worthwhile. That was a hell of a way to close out a season.
Yeah, that was the peak. Did you catch on to the lineage before they revealed it?
No, there's so many. There's so many characters and storylines, and just like I also think like we're in the age of like multitasking, and I'm probably like checking social media and other things while I'm watching, and I'm sure there's things I missed that if I watched all the way through a second time I would pick up on, but no, I didn't.
Okay, so like I definitely think part of the reason that you didn't like mind 7 and 8 is there's a certain expectation when you've literally waited like half a decade, mm-hmm. or more in some cases, where you're a book reader and you've been waiting for literal decades for this dude to finish writing what he's writing, and hasn't even finished like, you know, all the season 7.
Did we start talking about Star Wars and I just didn't realize it?
No.
Because that's like how I feel about Star Wars. But
yeah, basically, like imagine like waiting and start like being there from the beginning all for them to do that, and it's just like the utter disappointment of fans who had that experience. It's funny because I finished watching Breaking Bad after I binged through it all after I gave it up. I started it 10 years ago basically, and I got into a season and a half and I was like, I cannot watch, this is too dark. But I hate watch the rest of it. And I can say it objectively, it was a very, very good show. It's not my style. I hate watched it, and I despised literally every single character.
Did you watch the movie with Jesse yet?
I haven't. It's good. It's next. But okay. I jumped straight from Breaking Bad into the newest season of Westworld, which also has Aaron Paul, and it was like a bizarre.
Yeah, I saw those ads like when we're watching Game of Thrones, obviously, or some show. But yeah, I'm out of Westworld. I think we've talked about this, but
yeah. Well, yeah, no, it's been good. So I think El Camino is next, and probably Better Call Saul.
I'm a season behind on that. Better Call Saul is awesome though.
I'm probably also going to catch back up on Ozark. I got through like half of the first season before also getting distracted a while back.
Yeah, good stuff. I'm like, we just have you watched Bosch on Amazon Prime?
Nope.
I feel like it's probably a lesser watch show, but it's a like LA cop TV show. We kind of picked it up after the first few seasons, and the new season dropped like a few weeks ago, and so that's what we just started, the last season of that. So pretty good, nothing spectacular, but
Have you seen Extraction yet on Netflix?
I've not.
Oh my god, you need to watch it.
Yeah,
it's like if Thor was John Wick, and then there's Indian John Wick as well.
Interesting. All right. I don't think the shortage of at least like, I'm worried like about 6 to 9 months or a year from now about what's on TV, because I'm assuming everyone stopped filming shit because of coronavirus. So like, what I don't know what comes then, but at least
sports.
Sports, and then hopefully we're catching up on lost time and doing stuff out of the house and not watching as much TV. But Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any shortage of good TV right now. I mean, Billions premiere was on Sunday. I love that show, and that's at least one thing to watch live and not just binge watch. A lot of good stuff.
Maybe we should talk about the Pelicans.
Basketball.
So in basketball related news, there has been the usual haggling between owners and the league and Players Association. And I don't know if haggling is the right word, but just ongoing discussions of when they're going to open training or facilities and how and what capacity they're going to be open and where they're going to be allowed to be open, because it's all dependent on state regulations and when those stay-at-home orders are going to be lifted. And some teams are going to open things up, I think, at the end of this week. And then others, obviously, are dependent on their state and have to wait until given the all clear. So it's going to be interesting how that plays out. I think Woj tweeted out shortly before the recording of this podcast restrictions like no head coaches are allowed, which I think is to protect all the old dudes that are head coaches. And there's like limitations on how many people you can fit in to the facility at a time and how they have to clean it and all that good stuff. Do you feel like this going to help the players in any meaningful way in the capacity they're going to be open?
I think generally speaking, no, but I do think there are some benefits. Like, I don't know what every player's workout situation is. Like, obviously you've got the vets who are probably sitting pretty in their giant homes and have the means to, and we know different teams, but like the Pelicans, for example, their teams have sent them workout equipment, but at the same time, not everyone's got a full size court in their backyard. And just like, there are some players who I think will legitimately benefit from something like this. But I don't think it's the majority of players.
Yeah. So the Pelicans players have been in and out of the media cycle. Zion Williamson gave an interview with Ernie. He alluded to having a hoop where he is. I think he's still in New Orleans, and he alluded to having a hoop. And he says, where there's a will, there's a way, in terms of getting shots up and whatnot. So looks like he's been working out. He's been staying active. I think a lot of players have been in the city. I see Drew and his trainer, Mike G, posting videos of him working out at Pontiff Playground all the time. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, if people y'all want to creep on Drew, Pontiff Playground is a spot. I bet they're probably out in Old Metairie somewhere.
They probably have other players too with them, right? Like, it's not just
Darius Miller most frequently has been the person with them, which he's looking good. He's running and stuff.
Nice.
What do you think we get Darius Miller back when this all?
How else are they going to make a playoff push?
That's a good point. All spacing lineup. We have Melly, Redick, Miller.
Lonzo, man. Lonzo, 3-point sharpshooter.
Lonzo and B.I. Zion. Zion's the best 3-point shooter on the team by percentages. But
wait, really? Is that a fact?
I don't know. Is it? Is it still a fact? It was a fact day one. We're going to have to look this up. Hold on.
It was after the first game, yeah. That reminds me of like what year was it? It was one of the last Hornets playoff years, and like back when we swore by player efficiency rating, and there was like Patrick Ewing Jr. played like 2 minutes in the playoffs, had a PER of like 170 or something like that. It's like, oh, best player in the league. Now it's like Zion after one game.
So it's actually Jahlil Okafor who leads
the season as the top. I don't believe that.
It's actually Jahlil Okafor who leads the Pelicans at 50%, and Zion is number two at 46-ish. So we were close. We were not far off.
Guys, looking to last longer and go a few extra rounds? Get to BlueChew.com. BlueChew.com has the first ever chewable that brings your performance in the bedroom to another level. They've got the same active ingredients that are in Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. And since they're chewable, they work faster. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. Plus, you don't need to go to the doctor's office or spend time waiting in the pharmacy line. BlueChew's online physician is free of cost, and once approved, your order ships straight to your door in discreet packaging. Here's a great deal for you guys. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first order free when you use promo code BlueWire. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code BlueWire. With currently no NBA, NHL, or MLB, you might think there's nothing to bet on. Well, you'd be wrong. Our exclusive partner, BetOnline, still has hundreds of events, games, and props to wager on. From their online casino to poker and blackjack, they're bringing Vegas to you. Missing the NFL? No problem. BetOnline has live daily Madden NFL 20 simulations you can bet on. You can still bet on Survivor, Big Brother, American Idol, stock prices, and even the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. All open 24 hours a day and all online. Use promo code BLUEWIRE to join today and receive your new welcome bonus. BetOnline, your online wagering solution.
But yeah, Zion was in the news, and Melly has been in the news in and out. He's been giving a lot of fun updates on his Instagram diary. I've been enjoying them a lot. He had one about New Orleans as a city and how it captures you and how it's different than other places he's been. He had one recently about how trash talk works in the NBA, and ended on a really wholesome note, talking about the best thing he's heard on the court was when he was matched up against Porzingis, and Porzingis said, "Welcome to the league," and he meant it in like a genuine way. And Melly said that meant a lot to him, which is cool to hear. It's not often that you have players who are not on your team that just go out of the way to kind of be nice to you. It's cool.
Yeah. It was. I haven't been keeping track of all of his posts, but that last one it seemed very heartfelt, and it was a nice message about New Orleans and how he's really embraced the city. It was cool to see, you know, and as star for Pelicans content, as we all are, any little thing helps. Right.
Right. Yep. In other news, Alvin Gentry and David Griffin both held press calls with the media. I was able to be on both of them, and there weren't too many terribly exciting answers because, you know, there's not much going on right now, and everyone kind of wanted to know what the next steps were going to be. I asked Griff about how this is going to impact their draft process and how they were going to evaluate players. And he basically said that, you know, like these workouts that we're not going to be able to do is like we never really use them to form a high opinion of players. It just, you know, it's just another way to bring them in. So what they really focus on is the people aspect of players. And they're going to try to be creative with these Zoom interviews and whatnot to capture some of the stuff that they are not able to capture in face-to-face interviews. And when asked if he would be ready to make a selection in the draft today if they had to, he said, yeah, they'd prefer not to, but they'd be ready. They have a good idea of where things are at the moment, which is good to hear because I feel like draft is literally the only thing to talk about from a fan perspective. Because, you know, like, can't really talk about games that aren't happening.
Yeah, and the one thing – so I remember you mentioning that, and it was, like, the same day as a report came out from, like, Woj or Shams or somebody about how the league was trying to push back, I think, any sort of dates around like around the draft and having time to prepare. And it's interesting because like, if you feel like your process, if you think you have a market efficiency in terms of your draft evaluation and process, wouldn't you say, nah, let's just do it. I guess information is king, and maybe you feel like if you have more information, you're going to have an even bigger advantage in the competition. But also if you think that you're so much better at the other teams, and you think you can amplify that by rushing other teams and doing the draft as scheduled with, you know, with your process. I don't know. I think it's an interesting discussion as far as, you know, how important you think the time is for your evaluation versus how much of an edge you think you can give yourself over other teams to just do it and believe that you're better. you know?
Well, I think this draft is going to be a really fascinating one to look back on in 4 years and see which teams were successful. Successful, like, relative to their draft position. Like, I'm not going to knock a team that had the 29th pick and pick someone that never ended up being something. Like, the odds of you picking someone that ended up being someone at 29 are not high, but I will credit a team that did have the 29th pick and someone ended up being good, because, one, I think every team is just simply going to have much longer than they've ever had to evaluate draft players. And while, yes, the footage is limited, the sample is limited, there's just a lot more time to dig into other stuff and to really formulate opinions and or break them down or to do research. There's like no excuse of like, oh, well, our team was just focused on the playoffs. We didn't really have time to do much draft prep. Like, everyone has oodles of time. So it'll be interesting to see what the success stories are from a team perspective 4 or 5 years from now.
Yeah, for sure. I can't believe we haven't talked about the Lakers and the SBA loans they stole from all the other actual small businesses who needed it.
Oh, yes. We can. We needed our weekly podcast Laker Bash session where the Lakers, acting like the poverty franchise they are, were the only team to request such loans, and after they found out that it was terrible publicity, they gave them back.
Wait, no other NBA – and then Ravel tweeted that no other NBA team asked for it. I was like, eh, all right. It's probably worse that they actually got the loan from the government. But also, it's bad for the Lakers, but I'm sure that – I mean, Fertitta had to have asked for this, right? And then Ravel tweets that no other NBA team asked for the SBA loan. I was like, oh, man. This is bad. Lakers look like idiots.
No. What Fertitta did is was something even more insane, in which he got a private loan and it has an interest rate of 13%. And this private loan is for $300 million, and that's to keep his hotel empire and afloat. So he's leveraged himself to the tune of $300 million more dollars with an interest rate of 13%. That is crazy.
Good. That's like solid business practice.
that's like $39 million in interest. That's like one Russell Westbrook salary. We know who's getting traded, baby.
I was gonna say, yeah, that loan is the that's the Benson purchase price for the Hornets back in whenever they bought them.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. The amount of, like, that loan plus the interest payback is what the Pelicans or Hornets were bought for. Okay. Good times in NBA land.
Yeah.
Where shoddy ownership is being exposed.
Yeah. One other thing I thought, and I don't know if you were able to catch this, and I know you were on the calls with Griffin with Gentry, but I thought the interview Gentry did with Coach Henry Abbott and Thorpe was really good. And so he took like 45 minutes to an hour to talk to him, and just good snippets there about how the Pelicans approach player development, how their system and why they believe it and why they think it works. So, for example, Gentry mentioned that they show film of AD to Jackson Hayes. They show film of Steve Nash to Lonzo as players they want them to play like or think like. And then he talked a little about the topic we've hit on a few times throughout the season around the kind of read and react type offensive style that they play, and mentioned that one of the reasons they believe in it is because of how good scouting's become throughout the league, and even not just the teams, but the players as well, and being able to sniff out certain plays that teams like to run. And if you play just kind of a free-flowing offense, it's harder to do that. And so I thought that was a really interesting concept. Talking about, and they mentioned even how like Chris Paul will like know what a play is that's going to be run before, like way earlier than any player even reasonably should. And that's not like Chris Paul because he was on the Hornets the years back, but I think that's just Chris Paul because he just does his homework and knows he's been in the league for so long. So I thought that was interesting and not something that maybe we've even hit on as much in terms of why they like playing the way that they do.
Yeah, that's a point I had not even considered before, but it is definitely a true point. There's a lot of good articles out on how scouting works and how teams send advanced scouts, which are scouts that scout opponents that are like 3 or 4 or 5 games ahead. And so they go from arena to arena scouting these plays down, and they have a meticulously detailed notebook of every single play call, every single play, their counters and their other versions of it. And I actually have gotten the privilege to look at some of these playbooks, and they are so incredibly detailed, and every team knows exactly what the other team's playbook is. There isn't any surprise play. So if you're a type of team that's regularly going to call out stuff and you're using the same hand signals and all of that, it's going to be stale and predictable. So yeah, I definitely agree with Gentry on that. I didn't know that he did a podcast with those people. I'm going to have to check it out for sure.
Yeah, it was April 23rd is when it was released. Really good stuff. And also, so I was looking at the so True Hoop, what they've been doing, and there's also an interview they did with Grievous Vasquez, and I haven't watched it yet, but so there's another Pelicans organization representative, and I don't know if he talked much about, you know, Pelicans and maybe more about other things, but I do still want to watch that. I think it's from like earlier on in April.
Yeah.
Well, this concludes the newscap portion of the podcast. Stay tuned for the mailbag.
PenFed, that's a fact.
I have PenFed, that's a fact.
My credit card purchases get me cash back.
My credit card purchases get me cash back.
No one else gets these rewards.
Sergeant, that is just plain untrue.
What in tarnation?
Sir, PenFed's PowerCash Rewards Card isn't just for military members. Anyone can get cash back on all purchases.
Ah, figgins! You've ruined my favorite song.
PenFed Credit Union. Visit PenFed.org/PowerCash. To receive any advertised product, you must become a member of PenFed, insured by NCUA.